Welcome to Day 40 of My Everyday Bible. This is Rita, your host, and today we are reading from the Amplified Bible, Exodus chapters 30, 31, and 32. So beginning at Exodus 30, verse 1. And you shall make an altar to burn incense upon. Of acacia wood you shall make it. A cubit shall be its length, and a cubit its breadth. Its top shall be square, and it shall be 2 cubits high. Its horns shall be of 1 piece with it. You shall overlay it with pure gold. Its top and its sides round about, and its horns, you shall make a crown, a rim or molding of gold around it. You shall make 2 golden rings under the rim of it, on the 2 ribs, on the 2 opposite sides of it, and they shall be holders for the poles with which to carry it. And you shall make the poles of acacia wood overlaid with gold. You shall put the altar of incense in front and outside of the veil that screens the ark of the testimony before the mercy seat that is over the testimony, the law, the tables of stone, where I will meet with you. And Aaron shall burn on it incense of sweet spices. Every morning when he trims and fills the lamps, he shall burn it. And when Aaron lights the lamps in the evening, he shall burn it, a perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations. You shall offer no unholy incense on the altar, nor burnt sacrifice, nor cereal offering, and you shall pour no libation drink offering on it. Aaron shall make atonement upon the horns of it once a year. With the blood of the sin offering of atonement once in the year shall he make atonement upon and for it throughout your generations. It is most holy to the Lord. And the Lord said to Moses, when you take the census of the Israelites, every man shall give a ransom for himself to the Lord when you number them, that no plague may fall upon them when you number them. This is what everyone shall give as he joins those already numbered, a half shekel, in terms of the sanctuary shekel, a shekel being 20 gerahs, a half shekel as an offering to the Lord. Everyone from 20 years old and upward, as he joins those already numbered, shall give this offering to the Lord. The rich shall not give more, and the poor shall not give less than half a shekel, when you give this offering to the Lord to make atonement for yourselves. And you shall take the atonement money of the Israelites and use it exclusively for the service of the tent of meeting, that it may bring the Israelites to remembrance before the Lord to make atonement for yourselves. And the Lord said to Moses, you also shall make a laver or large basin of bronze, and its base of bronze for washing, and you shall put it outside in the court, between the tent of meeting and the altar of burnt offering, and you shall put water in it. There Aaron and his sons shall wash their hands and their feet. When they go into the tent of meeting, they shall wash with water, that they not die. Or when they come near to the altar to minister, to burn an offering made by fire to the Lord. So they shall wash their hands and their feet, lest they die. It shall be a perpetual statute for Aaron and his descendants throughout their generations. Moreover, the Lord said to Moses, take the best spices of liquid myrrh, 500 shekels, of sweet-scented cinnamon, half as much, 250 shekels, of fragrant calamus, 250 shekels, and of cassia, 500 shekels, in terms of the sanctuary shekel, and of olive oil, a hin. And you shall make these a holy anointing oil, a perfume compounded after the art of the perfumer. It shall be sacred anointing oil. And you shall anoint the tent of meeting with it, and the ark of the testimony, and the showbread table, and all its utensils, and the lampstand, and its utensils, and the altar of incense, and the altar of burnt offering with all its utensils, and the laver for cleansing, and its base. You shall sanctify, separate them, that they may be most holy. Whoever and whatever touches them must be holy, set apart to God. And you shall anoint Aaron and his sons, and sanctify, separate them, that they may minister to me as priests. And say to the Israelites, this is a holy anointing oil, symbol of the Holy Spirit, sacred to me alone throughout your generations. It shall not be poured upon the layman's body, nor shall you make any other like it in composition. It is holy. You shall hold it sacred. Whoever compounds any like it or puts any of it upon an outsider shall be cut off from his people. Then the Lord said to Moses, take sweet spices, stakti, onkia, and galbanum, sweet spices with pure frankincense, an equal amount of each, and make of them incense, a perfume after the perfumer's art, seasoned with salt and mixed pure and sacred. You shall beat some of it very small and put some of it before the testimony in the tent of meeting where I will meet with you. It shall be to you most holy. And the incense which you make according to its composition, you shall not make for yourselves. It shall be holy to the Lord. Whoever makes any like it for perfume shall be cut off from his people. Chapter 31. And the Lord said to Moses, see, I have called by name Bezalel, son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God, in wisdom and ability, in understanding and intelligence, and in knowledge, and in all kinds of craftsmanship, to devise skillful works, to work in gold and in silver and in bronze, and in cutting stones for setting, and in carving of wood, to work in all kinds of craftsmanship. And behold, I have appointed with him Aholiab, son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan, and to all who are wise-hearted, I have given wisdom and ability to make all that I have commanded you. The tent of meeting, the ark of the testimony, the mercy seat that is on it, all the furnishings of the tent, the table of the showbread and its utensils, the pure lampstand with all its utensils, the altar of incense, the altar of burnt offering with all its utensils, the laver and its base, the finely worked garments, the holy garments for Aaron the high priest and for his sons to minister as priests, and the holy anointing oil and incense of sweet spices for the holy place. According to all that I have commanded, you shall they do. And the Lord said to Moses, say to the Israelites, truly, you shall keep my Sabbaths, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I, the Lord, sanctify you, set you apart for myself. You shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy to you. Everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death, for whoever does work on the Sabbath shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days may work be done, but the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, sacred to the Lord. Whoever does work on the Sabbath day shall surely be put to death. Wherefore the Israelites shall keep the Sabbath to observe it throughout their generations, a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the Israelites forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he ceased and was refreshed. And he gave to Moses, when he had ceased communing with him on Mount Sinai, the 2 tables of the testimony, tables of stone, written with the finger of God. Chapter 32. When the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, they gathered together to Aaron and said to him, up, make us gods to go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. So Aaron replied, take the gold rings from the ears of your wives, your sons, and daughters, and bring them to me. So all the people took the gold rings from their ears and brought them to Aaron. And he received the gold at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool and made it a molten calf, and they said, "These are your gods, O Israel, which brought you up out of the land of Egypt." And when Aaron saw the molten calf, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made proclamation and said, "Tomorrow shall be a feast to the Lord." And they rose up early the next day and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. The Lord said to Moses, "Go down, for your people, whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf and have worshipped it and sacrificed to it and said, 'These are your gods, O Israel, that brought you up out of the land of Egypt.'" The Lord said to Moses, "I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may burn hot against them, and that I may destroy them. But I will make of you a great nation." But Moses besought the Lord his God and said, "Lord, why does your wrath blaze hot against your people, whom you have brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say, 'For evil he brought them forth, to slay them in the mountains and consume them from the face of the earth'? Turn your fierce anger and change your mind concerning this evil against your people. Earnestly remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, to whom you swore by your own self and said to them, 'I will multiply your seed as the stars of the heavens, and all this land that I have spoken of will I give to your seed, and they shall inherit it forever.'" Then the Lord turned from the evil which he had thought to do to his people. And Moses turned and went down from the mountain with the two tables of the testimony in his hand, tables or tablets that were written on both sides. The tables were the work of God. The writing was the writing of God, graven upon the tablets. And when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said to Moses, "There is a noise of war in the camp." But Moses said, "It is not the sound of shouting for victory, neither is it the sound of the cry of the defeated, but the sound of singing that I hear." And as soon as he came near to the camp, he saw the calf and the dancing. And Moses' anger blazed hot, and he cast the tables out of his hands and broke them at the foot of the mountain. And he took the calf that they had made and burned it in the fire and ground it to powder and scattered it on the water and made the Israelites drink it. And Moses said to Aaron, "What did this people do to you that you have brought so great a sin upon them?" And Aaron said, "Let not the anger of my Lord blaze hot. You know the people, that they are set on evil. For they said to me, 'Make us gods which shall go before us.' As for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him." I said to them, "Those who have any gold, let them take it off." So they gave it to me. Then I cast it into the fire, and there came out this calf. And when Moses saw that the people were unruly and unrestrained, for Aaron had let them get out of control, so that they were a derision and object of shame among their enemies, then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, "Whoever is on the Lord's side, let him come to me." And all the Levites, the priestly tribe, gathered together to him. And he said to them, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, 'Every man put his sword on his side and go in and out from gate to gate throughout the camp and slay every man his brother and every man his companion and every man his neighbor.' And the sons of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and there fell of the people that day about 3,000 men. And Moses said to the Levites, 'By your obedience to God's command, you have consecrated yourselves today as priests to the Lord, each man at the cost of being against his own son and his own brother, that the Lord may restore and bestow his blessing upon you this day.' The next day, Moses said to the people, "You have sinned a great sin, and now I will go up to the Lord. Perhaps I can make atonement for your sin." So Moses returned to the Lord and said, "Oh, these people have sinned a great sin and have made themselves gods of gold. Yet now, if you will forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray, out of your book which you have written." But the Lord said to Moses, "Whoever has sinned against me, I will blot him, not you, out of my book. But now go, lead the people to the place of which I have told you. Behold, my angel shall go before you. Nevertheless, in the day when I punish, I will visit their sin upon them." And the Lord sent a plague upon the people because they made the calf which Aaron fashioned for them. This is the end of today's scripture reading. In today's scripture reading, we find more high drama with the Israelites and Moses. We find Moses, in our opening chapters, up still on the mountain with the Lord, receiving instruction from God and receiving the two tables of stone, or we could say tablets, stone tablets, with the writing on it of the Ten Commandments, written with the finger of God, it says. And oftentimes from movies we've seen or pictures we've seen in books, they've made Moses holding these big, large stone things that look more like a tombstone than anything else. And yet, it's more likely that they were small, tablet size, the size of a book today or a electronic tablet would be about right. And it says that they were written on both sides. And it says he held them in his hand, which means he carried the two tables, it says, tablets, in his hand that were written on both sides. So the size of them was probably something more book size or iPad size, you could say, and written on both sides with those Ten Commandments on those two stone tablets. And the amazing thing about this story is that while he's on the mountain and getting toward the end of his 40 days, the Lord speaks to him and tells him, "Go down, because your people whom you brought out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves." And the Lord tells him, "They've quickly turned aside, they've made a molten calf and have worshipped it, and they've sacrificed to it, and they've said, 'These are your gods, O Israel, that brought you up out of the land of Egypt.'" So the Lord informs Moses that they've already broken the first two commandments that are on those stone tablets, and he needs to go down and deal with it. And the Lord goes on to say, "I've seen these people, they're stiff-necked people. Now, therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may burn hot against them and I may destroy them, but I will make of you a great nation." So there's several things going on here. One is that the people, while they're waiting for Moses, get tired, impatient, and they say to Aaron, "We don't even know what happened to this guy, Moses. He brought us out of Egypt, but now we haven't heard from him, so we don't know what's going on with him. So you make us a idol that we can follow." And unfortunately, Aaron quickly backslides just as fast as the people do when Moses tarries on the mountain for these 40 days. And that in itself is a picture of how quickly any person can fall into sin. If Aaron, who heard the voice of God, who saw the miracles of God, who threw down the staff before Pharaoh, saw it turn into a snake, who participated in the big miracles that the Lord did through Moses to deliver the people out of Egypt, if that man can so quickly fall out of the way of God and so quickly turn back, it's any person can fall. And that's why I was saying in a previous broadcast that the Old Testament speaks to us of how without God, we cannot do anything right. We cannot do anything good. And we can't obey God even if we desire to. Without Jesus, the power of the Holy Spirit in us, we cannot do it. I've known people over the years who sought to be good people. They weren't interested in surrendering their lives to Christ or living for God in any way, but they decided they had their own moral code and they wanted to live by a strict moral code, and yet they failed in it as well, because a person in their own strength cannot be good. Because we've all sinned, the Bible says, and fallen short of the glory of God. And without the help of Jesus, without the help of the power of the Holy Spirit, no person can do right in the sight of God. And we certainly cannot be in right standing with God. We need the blood of Jesus. We need His forgiveness. We need His grace to stand back up again and move forward, and the power of God in our lives to resist sin. That cannot happen without Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, these Israelites did not have that benefit that we have today in the New Testament, but this Old Testament picture of God giving His standard of righteousness, His standard of holiness, showing them these are the Ten Commandments, and they're all agreeing, we'll do exactly what you say, Lord. We heard that just a few chapters back, that they committed, everything you tell us, we will do. And when they were given the Ten Commandments, and it says, you shall have no other gods before me, and it says, you shall not make any graven image, create something that you're going to worship as God. And they broke those commandments as fast as could be, while Moses was out of sight and out of mind, and up on the mountain with the Lord. So we find this very clear picture of man's inability to obey God without the power of God operating in his life. And that is the picture we see here, because here Moses went to get the written documents, so to speak, on tables of stone from God of the covenant that they were to keep before the Lord. And he hadn't even gotten off the mountain to show it to them before they'd already broken it. And that's why we see this drama when he comes down the mountain and he sees them dancing before this golden calf, that he takes those two tablets of stone where the Ten Commandments are written and he throws them at the base of the mountain and they break. It was his own indignation and anger, holy, righteous anger about them turning away from the Lord, but it was also symbolic that they had broken the covenant that they had made. And the breaking of those stones that had the commandments written on it with the finger of God, breaking them right in front of the people, was symbolic, showing them, this is what you've done. You've broken the commandments of God. You've broken your covenant with the Lord. So this is a very sad day in the history of the people of Israel, because they had just been delivered by a high hand of the Lord out of Egypt with miracle after miracle, and it hasn't even been a few months and they've already turned their backs on God and started worshiping a golden calf. And the significance of that golden calf is this, that the Egyptians worshiped a god that was represented by a bull. As I mentioned to you earlier when we were talking about the plagues that the Lord sent on Egypt. And in fact, this specific god was named Apsis, and it was something that was one of the chief gods in Egypt, was this bull. And so here they have this golden calf, very similar representation of what they had seen the Egyptians worship back in Egypt. In fact, it was the god of the city of Memphis, which was near to the land of Goshen, where the Israelites had their camp. So they were influenced by the idolatry that was around them. They allowed that to touch them, even though they knew, even while they're in Egypt, they knew that they were God's chosen people. They knew they were sons of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They knew who they were, and they had kept their identity separated from the Egyptians, and yet they allowed the, you'd say, contamination or pollution of the culture around them to affect them, because the first thing they did when they didn't know where Moses went was to commission Aaron to create them a God to follow that looked like and was similar to the God that was worshipped in Egypt near to them where they lived in the land of Goshen. So this is a sad day in Israel's history. But I want to point out something about Moses here that is so outstanding. You know, when God spoke to him while he was still on the mountain, before he actually came down and saw what they were doing, when the Lord revealed that they had already turned from the Lord, made this molten idol to worship, they've worshiped it and they sacrificed to it, and they've declared it to be the God that brought them up out of the land of Egypt. When Moses heard that and heard that the Lord said, stand aside, don't bother me, I am going to destroy them and start over with you. And it's interesting, the Lord's words, now therefore let me alone that I might destroy them, but I will make of you a great nation. Two things here. One, let me alone. That means that Moses had great influence with the Lord to the point where the Lord has to tell him, okay, don't bother me about this. Don't intercede for them because I'm going to do this. So the implication here is that man can have influence with God through prayer. It's true. We saw this with Abraham. He was interceding for Lot, who was living in Sodom. Do you remember that? And he kept begging the Lord, well, what if there's only 10 people in that city that are righteous? And the whole point was, and God knew what he was doing, he wanted to make sure that his nephew Lot and his family were not destroyed when the judgment the Lord was going to pour out on Sodom and Gomorrah was released. And Abraham had influence with God. God spared Lot, not because Lot was doing a good job of serving God, on the contrary, but he spared him because of the intercession or prayers of Abraham. Here we see the same thing. Moses has influence with God. The Lord has to tell him, let me alone. I'm going to destroy them and make of you a great nation. But Moses doesn't heed that warning, let me alone. Instead, it says Moses besought the Lord his God and said, Lord, why does your wrath blaze hot against your people whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt? First of all, he corrects the Lord. The Lord told him, hey, those people you brought out of the land of Egypt. And Moses tells God, no, those people you brought out of the land of Egypt with your great power and mighty hand. And he begins to intercede for them. He says, why should the Egyptians say that you brought them out to slay them in the mountain? And he tells the Lord, remember your promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to whom you swore that you'd multiply them and give them this land to inherit. So he interceded with the Lord on the basis of two things. One, he didn't want the Egyptians blaspheming God, saying that he brought the Israelites out just to kill him. And secondly, he reminds the Lord of his promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then it says in verse 14, then the Lord turned from the evil which he had thought to do to his people. So here is this amazing picture of the power of a man with God through prayer. It's powerful. How beautiful. But that is an amazing thing. And we have that power with God today. Do you realize your intercession for people is something very precious to God and is honored by God and is responded to by God? That is an important message of this book of Exodus. It's one of the important messages. Secondly, Moses's amazing selflessness is clear in this passage as well. The Lord just gave him the opportunity to be the man from whom God would make a great nation and take care of all the rest of these people. He would just kill all the rest of them and start over with Moses. If Moses was a selfish guy, he would have said, go for it, Lord, I'm tired of them too. Because these people had harassed him. These people had accused him From the time he got to Egypt until then, he was being continuously accused, maligned, spoken evil of, questioned his motives, on and on and on. They said, he just brought us out here to kill us. Why? Because there's no graves in Egypt. You're going to let us die of thirst and die of hunger. And they were continuously questioning his leadership and harassing Moses. Moses had every good reason in the natural to just agree with God. You're right. They are stiff-necked. Just deal with them and let it go at that. And he wouldn't have been in sin at all because it was the intention of God to do this. But do you see as you hear these words that Moses was an unselfish intercessor, an unselfish prayer warrior, an unselfish leader? Because instead of desiring that God just remove his problem, and these people were a problem, they were not easy for Moses to deal with. It was a hard job that he had. But instead of that, he cried out to the Lord to not destroy the people. That is a beautiful picture of an unselfish leader, an unselfish man of God, an unselfish intercessor. And God calls us to be like Moses in this way. Have you ever had a difficult situation in your life where you have such a problem, and it's a people problem? Maybe it's a family member, maybe someone's suing you. It could be family or business, someone in your school harassing you continuously. And oftentimes our prayers will be like, Lord, get me out of this situation. Set me free from these people. Deliver me from this harassing situation that I'm in or circumstance that I'm experiencing. Instead of praying for the people. That's what Moses did. He could have prayed, Lord, deliver me from the stiff-necked people. I am done with these people. I have done what you said, and they still don't appreciate your miracles or anything. But instead, he prayed for the people not to be destroyed. Moses was a godly, godly man and one of the most humble men in the entire Bible. And it is a testimony to his character, how he went before the Lord to intercede for the people. And this would not be the last time. This was actually the first intercession for them. And we're going to see it over and over again. And every single time, Moses would have had a good reason to let the Lord just deal with them, because he was being harassed as well. He was being harmed, so to speak, by their words and their attitudes as well. You could say if he was selfish, he would have said, I don't need to put up with this. I don't deserve this. I didn't sign up for this. All the things that we've heard ourselves say. And yet, Moses, instead of complaining about the people who were harassing him, who were disobeying him and not disrespecting his leadership, instead of asking God just to deal with them, he cried out to the Lord not to destroy them. When you have a situation in your life, and it's often, and it's most of the time, 99% of the time, a people problem, because we live with people. This is our life. We're humans. We have interactions with others, and they're the source of most of the problems on the earth. And we need to be like Moses in this. Instead of just praying for relief from the situation, that we would pray for God to help the people to turn to him. Help the people who are being difficult in our lives to have a revelation from God, to have God speak to them, to have God show his love to them, to have an experience with God. That is an intercessor's heart, where you desire God's best for that person, even if that person is giving you a hard time. So this is something we can learn from Moses in these chapters here in the book of Exodus. I just want to encourage you today, if you have a situation like that, if you have a difficult person in your life, become their intercessor like Moses did. Become the one who can pray from a heart of love for that person. You know that God honored Moses' intercession for these people? He honored it. He listened to Moses. God will listen to you. Become the intercessor for the most difficult person in your life, and it'll change you as well as them. God bless you and give you a victorious week.